French troops. Carlotta, Maximilian's darkly beautiful Belgian princess wife, had gone to France to plead with Napoleon to keep his promises, and had arrived at the first week in August to find that Austria and her brother-in-law, Emperor Franz Joseph, had just lost a 7-week war to Prussia, and that the transatlantic cable was now in regular service, meaning that she could quickly inform Maximilian of her progress with Napoleon. She had no good news to send her embattled husband. After delays and evasions, Napoleon told her that he could not help, and toward the end of August he wrote Maximilian that he would supply neither another franc nor soldier. And Carlotta went on to Rome to plead for aid from the Pope, was again refused, and on October 18th Maximilian had cables telling of his wife's illness. A few days later he started for Orizaba, apparently to abdicate. That was the last development the Camerons had heard of when they reached Veracruz late in October, but they had traveled on to Carlotta to find mango trees swaying lacy green above the almost deserted plaza, and most of the thatched bamboo huts empty. Courtly, white-haired General Sterling Price invited them to a meal in his large, thatched house and told them how the rush of Confederates into this Cordoba Valley had led to a brief boom that collapsed, as would-be colonizers could find no way of supporting themselves until the crops grew, and discovered that hard work would be necessary, or encountered yellow fever and typhoid, and were frightened at the way Juaristas had raided an outlying settlement and taken its men captive. The men had been released, but Juarez was undoubtedly winning the war. He would not be sympathetic to foreigners who had accepted land from an Australian interloper and sworn allegiance to him. Southerners were returning as quickly as they could to the United States. "It's all for nothing," Philip cried. His thin, well-formed lips twitched as he glanced away from the handsome old general. Mercy stiffened with dread. She knew what would come later when they were alone, accusations and stormings that if she had not tried to persuade him to stay in Texas, they would have been snugly settled on a Mexican estate by now and able to ride out a change in governments. As if sensing some undercurrents of Philip's despair, General Price sighed.
"A Yucatan's as loyal to the Empire as that strife-ridden place can ever be. The Empress visited both Campeche and Merida a year ago, awarded many honors and aroused wild enthusiasm. And there's talk of re-establishing the empire in Yucatan with a view of expanding south." "Well, then we'll go to Yucatan," Philip said, brightening. "I'd rather die than go back to Reconstruction."
The weary old general looked sorrowful, but wished them good fortune. Mercy's urgings that they return to Texas only increased Philip's stubborn determination. They spent their remaining money to travel by steamship across the Gulf of Mexico to the port of Cecil, and then on to Merida. The driver brought them to a small, clean inn, but Philip left immediately to scout the city for prospects. He had promised to meet Mercy at a nearby church so that they could have a stroll before dusk and find a respectable place to eat. But it was more than dusk. Mercy felt tired and hungry and forlorn. Philip had not been able to settle down after the South's defeat. He'd stayed out later and later, drinking and reliving won battles while trying to forget a lost war. Painfully, Mercy thought back to the year before. Lee had surrendered April 9th. And on April 14th, Lincoln was assassinated. With him went the chance of a generous and healing treatment for the conquered secessionists. Some Confederate leaders had met in Marshall, Texas, about 20 miles from Mercy's home, before their troops were demobilized. General William Preston of Kentucky was there, and so was General Joe Shelby of Missouri, who would later bury his unsurrendering flag in the Rio Grande as he crossed to Mexico. They planned, with other generals, colonels, and leaders assembled there, to send troops to Maximilian in the hope that when his empire was secured, he would help them free the South from the northern domination. But the generals offered this